You know, when Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them how to pray, how to approach God, he began by saying, "Our Father. Our Father." Now, we know where those words come from. Obviously, that's the Lord's Prayer. In the first glance, the words seem ordinary enough. But why did Jesus teach us to refer to God as our Father? What's he trying to say? We know all about fathers. All of us have one or had one. Some of us are one. Some are grandfathers, great-grandfathers even, maybe some great-greats. And we know that sometimes fathers can be pretty bad, pretty rough characters. Hardly worth a day of celebration, really. And we also know that even the best earthly father pales in comparison to God. So is Jesus really trying to get us to see God through the image of our earthly fathers, which is what we do often? Or is this passage, and maybe most all of the New Testament particularly, trying to get us to see our earthly fathers through the image of God? On this Father's Day, I want us to explore that thought a little bit. And some of the qualities of God as our Father, to better understand Him, to better understand what earthly fathers can and should be. And the first quality is obvious. God is our Father means God is our Creator, right? Well-known comedian used to say, "I'm the one who brought you into this world, and I'm the one who can take you out," right? We all used to laugh. Maybe we should laugh. I don't know. Certainly that was the predominant thought of the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah saying in 64:8, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." You know what happens when the clay goes the wrong way? It gets smushed back up, and we start again. You know, there's only 11 references in the Old Testament talking about God as Father. A lot of references to Father, but it's Father Abraham and Father everybody else and all those genealogies. Remember how many genealogies we have? They all have a father, many fathers in them. But only 11 that are talking about God as Father. Most references refer in the Old Testament, like I said, are talking about genealogies. But when it talks about Father in the Old Testament, it's almost always understood, in fact, it is always understood, in terms of our Creator. The understanding of God as our Father in a more personal, biological sense even, wasn't revealed until Jesus, the Father's Son, was revealed. But early on, the Bible clearly understood God in passage after passage after passage as the giver of all life. In other words, God preceded biology. As Jeremiah quoted him saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." You weren't around yet, but God knew us. "Before you were born, I set you apart." It's not biology. There's something totally much grander in scale. The psalmist said in 139, "God, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass." Creator. God, our Father, is involved in our being way before our earthly father. God, our Father, is our Creator. So what does it mean that for those of us who hope to be or are earthly fathers, what is our role in all of this? You know, some of us always thought that we were the creators of our babies, right? Well, you're part of the process, but you're a very small, yet significant, part of the process. A father's role in creation of his family is primarily to keep himself a pure vessel for God the Father to use. That's what we need to be thinking about. And that means you stay away from premarital or extramarital sexual activity, those kind of things. You stay away from pornography and other behaviors that would preclude or even destroy your relationship with your children or your family or God. I knew a young family several years ago where the husband was completely addicted or hooked on pornography. He and his beautiful wife, very beautiful woman, had two young children, two young daughters. They could have had more children, possibly. Maybe we'll never know, because his behavior broke the relationship between him and his wife. Time and again, he would go to recovery, you might want to say, and then time and again, he would fall away. Could his children have a caring, nurturing father, pouring life into their lives? Yes, they could have. But he chose darkness rather than light. And divorce was the eventual end. Heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking tragedy, but it's a story that repeats itself over and over again every day, time and time again. The good news for all of us is that our Heavenly Father knew us before we were even born, right? Before there was ever any biology involved. And our Heavenly Father will never break His covenant with us. He will always be with us. He created us. A second truth that God is our Father, which should mean to us, is that God is our provider. We're taught that in all sorts of places through Scripture, old and new. Also in this Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. Our Father is our provider. He feeds us. He clothes us. From the earliest accounts of man's relationship with God in the garden, right? Remember those stories? God provided. The Exodus story is filled with accounts of God's provision for His children, for His people. The manna, the quail, the water. Just a few verses down from this one I read in Matthew, from where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. God is our provider. God is our Father, is our provider. And that's great news. And the message is clear for earthly fathers. As a father, you are to provide for the needs of your family. Your wife, your children, food, clothing, shelter. These are primarily the father's role. Now, I know we have all sorts of stuff that goes around in our social structures and the culture we live in, the world we're a part of. I don't really care about all that. This is the book. That's where we need to start. Sometimes, actually oftentimes in our day, this role gets distorted and fathers leave the home. How's that? And the mother is left to do double duty, to become the provider. Sometimes also in our day, providing becomes a team effort with both parents working to care for their family. And Barbara and I had bluebirds in our little boxes. We have a box in our backyard down at the beach, and we'd like to watch them. We can watch them out of the back. And the box, when the bluebirds come around, they always choose the box. And it's usually the father that goes first. And he kind of finds the box, and it seems like the mama bluebird comes and puts the final, stamp of approval on it. And then together, the two of them build the nest. In, out, in, out, in, out. We can watch them go. And then the mother starts to lay the eggs and starts to sit on the eggs. The father goes in and out and in and out and in and out, feeding her, providing nourishment for the mother while she sets on the eggs so the eggs don't get cold. So they'll hatch. The father had to fulfill his role of providing food for the mother, or the baby bluebirds would never have hatched. God as father means God is our provider. Let me give you a third quality. God is our Father means God is our protector. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, Psalm 18 says, in whom I take refuge. God is described in terms of deliverer and fortress and rock and shield all through the Bible. In the Old Testament, God is portrayed as the one who does battle against our enemies. Peter talked about our Father's protection in 1 Peter 1. He says, praise be to God, and praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, kept in heaven for you through faith. Who through faith, listen, are shielded by God's power. Shielded by God's power. In other words, God is our protector. Not only is He the giver and the provider and the creator, He protects that which He has established until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time, Peter says. God our Father shields us and protects us. And the lessons for earthly fathers is we have the same role. We have the same role. You're called to shield and to protect your children and your family as best you can from physical harm. We kind of understand that, maybe in a sense, but maybe most importantly from spiritual harm. The Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from evil, right? Deliver us from evil. You have the responsibility to teach your children the truths of God. And as they believe, they will be shielded by His power way beyond anything you and I can offer. Well, there's a fourth quality. God is our Father also means God is our lover, the lover of our souls. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves His children so much that He sacrificed Himself in Jesus so that we might live in His presence forever. That's what a father does. As you get older, there are some parts of life that you want to continue. You want to continue to be with your children. You want to continue to be with your grandchildren. You want to continue to be with your wife. You want to continue to enjoy family. But I don't have to tell you, I shouldn't have to tell you, as fathers, we don't have the means or the power to live with our loved ones forever. We're not going to be able to do it. We do, however, as fathers, have the admonition and the example of our Father to love our children and our families so much that we commit ourselves to do all we can to bring them into the kingdom of our God. What greater sacrifice could God have given for His children? What greater sacrifice of love can we give to our family and to our children? Creator, provider, protector, sustainer, lover, example, model, God is our Father. In Him we will never be disappointed, never be let down, never be abandoned. You know, trust me, as a father, I know I'm not God, but I have been given a role, and I've been given a responsibility by God, as have many of you. Don't always fulfill that role well, fall way short of it for sure. But would that every earthly father would look at our heavenly Father and learn from His example and be encouraged from His promise, by His promises. Would that fatherhood, in the words again of the Lord's Prayer, be on earth as it is in heaven. Some of you may be able to take your minds back a ways and remember in the 1992 Olympics that were in Barcelona, Spain. A promising British athlete there by the name of Derek Redmond was running in the 400-meter sprint. This guy had won everything. It was almost a given that he was going to win this race. But our Father had other plans and visibly demonstrated to the world, literally, the determination of a son and the love and dedication that should be a father. Can anyone remember who won that race? I'm not sure Google knows. You'd have to really hunt it up hard. Nobody remembers who won that race. All who were around and saw that happen remember Derek and Jim Redmond, though. Derek was running this race. He was about halfway through and he tore his hamstring, crippling one leg. Unable to run, he was limping and hopping, trying to finish the race. 65,000 people sitting there in the stands and untold amounts on television watching. And they couldn't believe what they were seeing and stood cheering as Jim Redmond, his father, broke through the barriers and ran out onto the track and came alongside of his son and helped him finish the last 175 meters of that race. Now, he couldn't win because he got help, right? But he finished the race. I want us to know that our Father walks us around the track of life every day. Every day. And sometimes brings along earthly followers to follow his example and serve his will. Thank God for that. And for that, we have a special day. And for that, we celebrate. But let's never forget who our real Father is. All through the Word of God, God is our Father. Don't mistake who really created you, not just who brought you into the world. Don't mistake who provides for you and who protects you and who loves you. That's what Jesus was teaching in this simple little prayer. Our Father walks with his sons and daughters all the way to the finish line. To the finish line. As John taught in John, 1 John 3, he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. I love that. That we should be called children of God. And then, as if that weren't enough, he says, and so we are. And so we are. That's why we can all celebrate Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray together.